calling Pastor Gary out of the crowd again to come up and talk about the... He and Pastor Schaller traveled to India and Nepal, and yeah, it'd be awesome to hear it, so...
Now I can say what I really wanted to say. If I was truthfully, if you want to know what I really want to say, it's a move of God, and it's big, and like you've got to see it to believe it. From the worship in India, I'm talking about Pastor Schaller and I. We went to India and also Nepal for 10 days and had a conference there, and. What I have to say, we just had worship, just to worship God there, to see people in the same spirit, lifting up doctrine as they sang and worship God, and people raising their hands and just being one with Jesus Christ is absolutely amazing. Coming from these different backgrounds, from villages to intellectuals to whoever they are, just whole families coming in India, and from all over. Well, you got the diagram. The conference, as you can see, it was here in. Okay, it's not on the screen. I thought I had it there. Okay. Well, can you get it up there? I don't know. Maybe. Great. So here it is, and I need the pen to work. Is it working? Erase that. Well, it's on erase, so.
It's on erase, yeah.
We'll go to, okay. Mumbai, right? Wait, I got to probably put a pencil on it. This one. And then I circle it. There you go. Can you see that? That's Mumbai. That's where the conference was. And then, but there was a church. This is a training center here with a Bible college. They have a Bible college center where they train missionaries here. And they also have a day school. Okay, how many students do you think that they have? Does anyone know? What's a big number? 1,000, right? Let's think higher. They have 3,000 students. They have two batches, a batch of 1,500. They call it batches, a batch of 1,500, first, and then later after that, another 1,500. And that's the school that they actually have there in Mumbai. It's a Christian school. It's just absolutely amazing. And to see, if you saw the Sunday school classes there, the content that they had in the Sunday school classes, the way that they teach the kids, absolutely amazing. And then this is a training center. This is also a training center here in Bangalore. And from there, I don't know if this is going to do arrows. We've had missionaries have gone out, to both sides here to the coast, Goa, Coimbatore, and then of course in Mumbai, we've had missionaries go out from there. And Mumbai has actually trained people they've trained people from Nepal. This is Kathmandu. This is a country of Nepal right here. And Mumbai has trained, I think we had like 5 or 6 students in Nepal. After Mumbai, we went to Nepal and had a conference there. And that's where several years ago, some of the Nepalese students went to Mumbai and got trained. And they're some of the leaders now back in Nepal. And in Nepal, we have a training center there. It's in a district of Kathmandu called Pepsi Cola, and there it's this beautiful facility, 4-story facility. And Pastor Rajan is the pastor there, and he has a vision for all of Nepal. You can see where Kathmandu is. They say from the east to the west, so this would be to the west that way, and that would be to the east that way, and. They have what they call them village pastors, and they get trained in Kathmandu, and then they go up into the mountains, and that's how they minister. I've been to one of the village, when Pastor Fred was just at one, the village churches. It's just maybe some blocks with a makeshift roof on it, and you know, some of those white plastic chairs that are really flimsy. That's the one that I went in. You know, that's what they have church in. And they're teaching them. I didn't bring the books tonight, but they have doctrine booklets that are translated from Pastor Stevens, Pastor Schaller, Pastor Carl Silva, and that's what they're teaching them there. And these guys have sound doctrine. I said this morning, Pastor Schaller did this amazing rap at a coffee shop for a couple hours while the electricity was flickering on and off. Just all about practical life, and they had these questions, and about, you know, being married, being a missionary, you know, having a vision, you know, what to do with my life. And there's these men that have like counted the cost. We're thinking from the message today, we're persuaded, and so we have embraced this truth, and they go up into the mountains with this truth that. You could say they don't want to sell. You could think of all the messages that Pastor Schaller preached while they're absolutely amazing. Preached one thing about buying the truth and not selling it. It was amazing. And then I still remember Delilah, the lie that Delilah has. And that was amazing. And then the verbs that he preached about Noah. Moses, the verbs of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, the verbs of Moses. That was an amazing message, and just so many. But and we had so many raps and discussions with people just to see that they're walking in the steps of doctrine. And then we also the thing that is incredible. You just have to say, if you saw your pastor and you hung out with your pastor for 10 days, your heart would burn within you, seriously. And I just one thing I just want to take away, like Pastor Shelley said, if you saw this, you know, this church, you know, these churches operating, we can't say how great it was. You have to see it. You have to experience it. And, you know, it motivates me to go, actually. To be out there and to teach people and to be with people and to be pastoring people. But to be with Pastor Schaller, I just want to share this. I just want to share this because I think it's beneficial for everybody. I couldn't help but think about meditation. Meditating on the word day and night. I just think that for some reason, I just want to share that. Just it's one of the lost arts of actually walking in the Spirit. And you saw Pastor Schaller walk in the Spirit. You know, meditation and purposing to have God direct his steps, you know, prayerfully, and the wisdom that he had for the churches. I say it's a lost art, but it's something that we can get back. And don't take it lightly. To be one with the church, you just saw churches have gone through things. You saw people making decisions to be one. It's like hallelujah when you saw somebody choose, as you could say, the cross to get back, the cross to be one. It's just so encouraging. And then this Indian, the Indian church, they have so many connections to us. I mean, we have 3 students here this semester from India alone. But you feel like they're in the pews right here, right now. That's how close that they are, you know, the way they listen to the messages. It's just like, you know, they know the schedule of the church here in Baltimore. They're so connected to us. Some of them will be here for convention. Get to know them. What else can I say? It's a miracle of God that, you know, missionaries went there, I think, in the late 70s. You know, Pastor Carl going in, maybe Pastor Carl would have gone in 91 or 92 or 90, maybe he went there. Came out of Bible, it must have been 90, 91 that he went back there. And then what has started, and then Pastor Brian going back after he graduated. You just see what God has done in people's hearts, and they're like so one with us. Pastor Schaller would make a joke, and they'd be like right on it, and they're like laughing. They're just waiting to. They're like one. I can't even explain it. You walk in the same spirit when you're there, and these people are taught. They've been taught doctrine, and it's like they are believers. We can't underestimate like what this church does worldwide. It's just unbelievable. Pastor Fred does Zoom meetings with them, but with India, with Nepal. But we can't underestimate what this church does worldwide and what you guys mean. And I I'm not supposed to be doing it now, but just thinking of Faith Promise and just getting behind missionaries, being a part of this, like it makes me want to be more sacrificial than ever. Don't do that. I can support missions. Really, that's the way I'm thinking. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to do that. Support missions, like get the gospel out there. Like people are taking the gospel throughout the world. We think of there's the Plunkets in Singapore starting something. Anyway, I'm getting a little off track there, but I wanted to share that about you, Pastor Schaller. You just have to. Guys, meditation. Meditating on the word day and night, putting a verse in your heart, and don't letting it escape, and turning it around, Hebrews 11:13 from today, or just keep putting it around, and it just builds faith. And it's like we're not just churchgoers. We're literally people that are walking with God, and we have a testimony of faith, and like God is adding to us. And when we go to a church service, we're like, it's our life. It's not just something I attended, but I'm adding something to my life every time I go. So, Pastor Shelley, thanks for letting me go. Get to know, I've got some... We'll put on the missions website, we'll put some things up about the Nepal newsletter. And those are some things I didn't say this morning that I wanted to say. It's amazing. It's like, can somebody go somewhere and see something? It's like with their own eyes. If you can, do it. It's amazing. Get a hold of Summer Harvest. Do something with Summer Harvest. Let's believe missions. You know, let's rethink missions. Let's make new sacrifices for missions. Let's have prayer for missions. There was an Asia prayer for missions last night. There's Summer Alive this year. There's Rosebud, South Dakota. You know, like there's just so many things that we can actually do. And when you come back, it's like it's not a privilege to go. It's just a privilege to be a part of something like that. And I just want to share that with you guys. You don't know how to share it with you. You don't know how to. You just say, you almost say you do have to go. And you have to see it, have our hearts like completely like knit in towards it. Make a sacrifice for it. I guess that's what I'm saying. Make a sacrifice for it. I don't know how or what, or join a prayer meeting, or say hi to a missionary, house them. Make a sacrifice for it. Stop by the missions office and say, "What can I do?" I don't know, but it's go with somebody to another church in the United States, visit another church in the United States, and just let's open up our eyes and see what we're actually a part of. It'll just warm your heart. Amen. What? Okay, can you play the video of Nepal first? This will give you like a little context of what I was talking about, or Mumbai, then I'll explain it as you go. I'll tell you where they are when they show it. You can't believe the size of the hall. These are 500 or 600 people in the halls. Okay, this is Nepal. This is Kathmandu. These people have just come out of the conference. We had about 12 Indians that joined us on this trip to Nepal. After their conference, they flew with us up to Nepal, waiting. You can see, you know, this is just kind of their dress clothes, you would say, some of them, the color.
They get the food, huh?
Pastor Shell is excited about the food there, the curry. Yeah, look at that. Look at their faces. Look at that. These are missionaries. Those guys are missionaries going back to the mountains. Pastor Rajan has an orphanage there, and I told in the earlier service that the song leader in his church is actually an orphan, and he was orphaned when his father died, and his mother was going to remarry another man, and the man that she was going to marry didn't want him, and so he was orphaned, and now he took him into the orphanage, and now he is the song leader in the church. He's about this tall. you know, the guitar is about this long. And he plays it and just leads the whole church. And there's one guy, occasionally there's a guy playing a box up in front like that. And that's their music. And just people are just, you know, just worshiping God that way. And then maybe you can play, that was Nepal, and you can play the next one. Okay, there is the, this is the meeting hall in Kathmandu, Nepal. Okay, you can see all the people, some of the people there from Mumbai, and then they go to all the Nepalese people. Okay, those are a lot of the missionaries were a lot in that corner right there. And so there's 42 churches in Nepal that we have, well taught, they have doctrine. And this is some of their people coming from their churches, you know, coming by buses, by motorcycles, you know, walking several hours to come out of the mountains where they don't have roads. They walk and they get to a place where they can get to a taxi or a bus. Okay, there's our hall. That was Pastor Rajan speaking in the front. And now they're all going to go out to lunch. Is where you just saw them going out to. So that was the morning session is just over, and they're heading outside with the kids. She was an orphan right there, that girl. So these are body members. These are people that are in our church. These are people you're connected to. They know you. They appreciate the ministry here so much. Young and old, hard lives, poor. And then you play the Mumbai video, maybe. Is that okay, or do you have it or not? Okay, this is the Mumbai Hall. Okay, you can see the amount of people. There's John Kenny's here. Pastor Doug and Bethany were there. And there they are, you know, all the way to the back. Okay. And then over to the side, there's probably about 40 or 50 kids in the Sunday school back there. So that's where we were. Thank you.
It was a Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Pastor Gary did a little video with children saying why they love their mothers.
Oh, yeah. Is it up there? Oh, okay, so... on Mother's Day, I just went through and did a little video of people of why they love their mothers. So this will warm your heart, moms. This will maybe get you ready for next year. But go ahead and play that video. It's beautiful. See what they say. And these are young kids.
So I am thankful for my mother because she cooks yummy food for me every day. And I love her because she, when I was a baby, she used to take all the trouble when I used to cry. So I am thankful for her. I'm thankful for my mother because she reads the Bible for me.
She reads the Bible.
I'm thankful for my mother because she always loves me for who I am and she disciplines me.
She loves me for who I am and she disciplines. That's Pastor Guru's daughter.
She always leads me in the right way and never allows me to sin so that I can go on.
My mother helped me when I was 6 for 2 weeks.
And my mother play with me.
On Mother's Day, I'm thankful for my mother because she makes nice food, she takes care of me, she loves me, and she's the best mother on earth. On Mother's Day, I'm thankful for my mother because she's always there for me when I need her. She always cares for me and she always gives me everything I need.
Wow, beautiful. That was good.
Turn with me to the book of Judges. Chapter 16. Judges 16. I think we're living in a time where people lack wisdom. We are living in a time where people don't really understand what is going on. We are living in a world where people are very naive and also misled. And I want to give you an example of how a man of God, his name was Samson, was actually attracted to a woman. I think he had three of them in his life in the scriptures. And he would be attracted to these women, and in this case, Delilah, which we all know that word, that name. And he talked to her in chapter 16. And it must be that she was attractive to him, attractive to him, that he could look at her and he was drawn to her as a woman. And the funny thing about the story is that that he realized also that she wasn't to be trusted, that she would lie. So there you have a combination of two important elements. One, I'm attracted to her, and then number two, she's a liar. I can't trust her. But I can't help it. I can't help it. Why can't you help it? Because I'm immature, I'm naive, I lack wisdom, I don't have the conviction, I don't know how to handle it. Really? Yeah. That's what the story is about. That's what happened. There's a proverb on it. It's in Proverbs 11, verse 22. And this message will not be long, but I hope powerful and relevant. Proverbs 11, verse 22. Actually, it comes up sometimes and I quote it. And it's actually, you know, pretty graphic. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. So you have a pig. And you have a gold ring in its snout. And that gold ring is awesome. That gold ring is money. But it's in a swine's snout. If you have the pig live in your house, and I have been in a house where there was a pig living there, which is really unusual. But yeah, you can't have a pig live in your house. You can, but it's messy. Pretty nasty. But you got gold in its face. You got a piece of gold in its snout. And same way, verse 22, it says, in the similar way, a fair woman, and we can put the word attractive there. Attractive woman. What kind of woman? Attractive. Compelling. You're drawn to her. You like how she looks. You're fascinated or attracted to her, and yet she has no discretion. In verse 22. So, what do we need in this life in order for us to live this life and have the power and the authority in our soul to know the difference and to say, Delilah, not going to happen. Bye-bye. It's over. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not dealing with you. You're not on my phone. I don't have any contact with you. It's over. I'm done. I'm finished. Because even though there's something about you that fascinates me, I'm wiser than that. How did you get the wisdom? Where did that come from? Going to church. Now, many years ago when we started going to church and we learned in this church that we go three times a week, and I've done that all my life, 50 years. 50 years of going to church three times a week, and of course in our case, many of us that are ministers, it's a lot more than that. What have we gained? Not being perfect, but we've gained something. we're able to say, not always, but by the grace of God, no to Delilah. You're able to get clean. You're able to live clean. You're able to live in faith. But that worm of corruption, that sin nature, it bubbles up in our hearts. Nobody is removed from this. You cannot handle that on your own. And I believe that life in general is not made for us to handle on our own. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that my life is not so that I handle it by myself. I need a shepherd. I mean a real shepherd. I mean a shouting, yelling, persuasive, compelling, wise, compassionate, loving. I need a man of God in my life. I need the Word of God in my life. I need a message that takes me beyond and transcends. So that's what I want to say today, tonight, and we'll go back to Hebrews 11 and read about Abraham as we did this morning. Now, that thing that I just shared relates to some. There's people in Nepal and India that are living in a Hindu culture. Their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents for thousands of years, undoubtedly, they were Hindus all that time. And to leave Hinduism is a big deal. To leave my home and my tradition and my culture, to leave my mother and my father, and to be a first-generation Christian is a big deal. How did Abraham do it? It's Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And that's like us. When I started to go to the church and I started to read my Bible and hang out with wise people and listen to messages and rap sessions and be built up in it and then to learn to become a hearer, then actually I didn't know where it would take me, just like all of us, like Abraham, not knowing where it would take us. And when you say goodbye to Delilah, you don't know where that will take you. And when Jonah left the presence of God and he went down to the Joppa to catch a ship, he didn't know where that would take him. But he went down in the bottom of the ship, and then he went down to the bottom of the sea. He went down into the fish, and they threw him overboard, and he went down, and he didn't know. But when you have God in your life, when God is teaching us, when God can speak to that fish and the fish can make its way up, it doesn't even know it's way down the bottom, but you are in it and it's going up, 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 up and shoots you out on the beach. And when you land on the beach and you just say, in your life, you just say, there's no doubt, there's no question, I'm going to Nineveh. God is sending me. It's obvious to me. I'm a man of God. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. That if you make your bed in hell, God is there, and his right hand will lead you. And he'll never leave you, never forsake you. Abraham was on a journey. And we need the roots in our life. We need roots in our life so that we can make these decisions of faith. And maybe that we had a brother here this morning who has made good decisions and he is going to Bible school and he wants to go on and he's aggressively going and he's hearing and believing and he's embracing these things like Abraham did. And it was, like Pastor Gary said, it was amazing in Nepal and India. It was amazing as these people are making great faith decisions. They're saying in their hearts, they're believing God. I might get in trouble, but I am believing God. I don't know where I'm going, but I am believing God. I'm not sure how it will turn out, but I am believing God. I'm mixing faith with what I hear, and I am believing God. One of the little boys that was playing the guitar was an orphan, and Pastor Gary told it right. His mother had to get rid of him, and so she took him to the woods and left him in the woods with the other throwaways. The little boy was in the woods. It was in the newspaper that children were abandoned in the woods there in Nepal, right in Kathmandu in that area. And Pastor Rajan went down in the woods to find them, and he brought them out, and they have a little orphanage there, and now he is a song leader with a huge, big smile. Works of faith. Decisions of faith. You know, Pastor Gary and I were talking, like getting on the airplane, we feel like mice. We feel very small and vulnerable. We get on the plane and we go like we feel small and we're more afraid and we're timid, even though we've done this for years, actually decades, but still, like, what's going to happen? And pray for us and may God bless it. And then when we come back, we're like lions. We're like, there's nothing we could not do. That's the way we are as people. I wonder if Abraham felt insecure. Did he doubt? Is he an example for us? Chapter 11, verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. I was thinking of Pastor John and Diane Post. They lived how many years in Nepal? 8 years they lived there. They know all about it. I mean, they did great work. That's the fruit of your labor and investment and in the body and so on. And okay, look at verse 9. They were dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. But that's okay. We were in Israel one time, and we were in Bethlehem, and we went there to see that we're a place where Jesus was born, and we were out in the field looking at the caves, or we got the mood and the feeling of the shepherds that night when Christ was born. And then off, like a short distance away, was a huge mausoleum built to King Herod the Great. And I asked the tour guide, do any people go to that mausoleum? And he said, no, nobody goes there. But millions go to this site where Christ was born. Millions and millions of people from around the world come here to Bethlehem where Christ was born. Nobody goes there. I never heard of it before. What does it mean to live by faith? It means that we're looking for a city, verse 10, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. How deep are the foundations? I can say no to Delilah. That's how deep it is. Delilah, I'm not interested. I don't trust you. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. I don't trust you. You're not good for me. May God save you. May God have mercy on you. You need help. You need to go to a counselor. You need to go to John Hadley and get some good counsel, Delilah, and get your life straightened out. What do I need? A city that has foundations, that can say no to the devil. A city that has foundations that can say, no, not going to happen. No, I can't believe that. I don't embrace it. Why did Abraham think this? Because he had an imagination. His imagination was that, I know that life is not just here. I know that God did not make us to die. He made us to live. I know that this world is so narrow. And the atheism, are you kidding me? You're an atheist? You're such an arrogant, stupid person. You're an atheist. Let me put down a number here. What's an atheist? I mean, I'm a little bit worked up about it, but here's the history of the world, whatever thousands of years man has believed in God. I'll put here man, and we've got how many? 96% of the world's population believes in God. Do they believe in God? Yeah. So you don't believe in God. You're 4%. And you're contradicting all of human history. Not only the present, but all of human history. All of mankind is believing in God. Why? Because they have an imagination. And what do you talk about? What do you say about my imagination? You're shutting me down to a very narrow little world where there is no God. The only reality is the material world. Are you kidding? That's why the Bible calls you a fool. You have no imagination. And if I sit around and listen to you, I'm going to become like you. A dried up, negative, pessimistic, unbelieving man with no message. I'll never see my mother again. I'll never see people again. I'll never see God. I'll never see a heaven. I'll never see the reality of what this whole thing is about. I'll never have my eyes open to the grandeur of an almighty God who made the world with fish and potatoes and animals and sky and clouds and rainbow. You idiot, you. Don't talk to me. I mean, I'm making fun. I'm like attacking them, but why not? That's foolish. And the arrogance of it, the arrogance of it, the education that you need to become an atheist. You have to be educated thousands and thousands of hours and be told this propaganda day after day, week, year after year, and then in your crisis you cry out to God. Of course. What am I talking about? Abraham looked for a city, but not here. Because he had it in his heart. He had an imagination for it. He believed it. He realized there's a better world. And let me finish with this. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And who saw a new heaven and a new earth but John? The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Now John saw the holy city, now New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, I mean, do you have an imagination? Imagine a great voice like the sound of many waters like Niagara Falls, a deep sound that is a great sound that goes through heaven. Can you imagine a great voice in heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with who? Is with men? What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? That a man has, he has language. How can you explain language? Where did language come from? How do you explain language? And he has ears and the sound goes through. My voice goes through the air and it lands on your ears and it goes to your brain and you understand what I am saying. And these words are the reality. This is God's word that is going to our heart and our mind, and we are saying amen and agreeing. How can we explain that? But that we are made in the image of God, and that God is saying, can you see it? that the transcendent reality of God is with us every day. There's an essay by G.K. Chesterton, I believe, on how when he saw a dandelion, a flower in the ground, one simple dandelion weed, and he saw it, and he had like a transcendental, like, realization. He worshiped God. He saw it. That's what I'm talking about. About the thin membrane between us and heaven. That the blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. When we think about the world that we are living in and just say, oh no, God is here. Jacob said, God is here and I did not know it. And we are saying God is here and we are realizing that God is with us every day. That we're looking for a city that has foundations. Where there is no, how does it say it here? God shall wipe away all the tears. There will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Abraham, why did you look for that city? Maybe because when I was a little boy, I believe this, that God made the world, and then he made the world so that we would, he wanted our world to be without pain, but we have pain, but I don't think it's right. And he wanted the world to be without a cemetery, but we have cemeteries, but I don't think it's right. And that's why Buddhism, by the way, is a philosophy where you lose your identity, you lose your ego, you're a drop of water into the ocean of reality, and you are gone. And you're just blended into the whole cosmos. And when a little boy that was told that by his liberal-minded mother about the Buddhist ideology, he said, when I die, what happens? And because his cousin died, what happened to so-and-so? And his mother said, well, and she explained, and then he cried out. He said, I don't want to be fertilizer. I don't want to be fertilizer. When mom said to the kid, you know, where do we go when we die? You become dust. And he said, I think under my bed there's a lot of people under there. I said, Mom, there's a lot of people under my bed. I don't want to be fertilizer. I'm not going just back to the dust. I'm not disappearing. God made a city, and the builder and maker is God. There is no more crying, no more tears. There is no pain. There is no heartache. There is no broken relationship. There is no end. It's just, and who's saying this? A great voice in heaven is saying it. Wow. Well, just in closing, you and I better have, in this time in our life, that sense, to have in our heart the sense of a message. We need a message, and we have it. And talk to people around you, and tell them, and love them, and listen to them, and encourage them. Because this life is passing. And we are the ones that are in this world to say there's more to life than what you can see. And believe God. Abraham did. And great things happened. And out of him came a multitude, like the stars of the sky in multitude. And wise people that could say to Delilah, now, I'm not looking at you anymore. I'm not gazing at you. I'm not interested in you. You cannot catch me. You cannot have me. Genesis 39, when Joseph was in Egypt, you know the story. And he basically said that to that woman. He was able to do it. How could he do it? How could he do it? Where did that come from? How did that happen? That's God. That's Christ in us. And the more we kind of enjoy our life of faith and our ability to make those decisions and have conviction in our heart and say no to this and no to that and have a gravity and have roots that we enjoy the life, the better we have a chance of making it in this life. And even after we fail, we just get up and go on. And you fail again, and you get up and you go on. And you keep going from faith to faith. And you overcome. And you glorify God and make an invisible God visible. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these thoughts in Jesus' name. Anyone listening, and you've not made a decision to come to Christ, do it tonight. Say yes to Jesus tonight by faith in Him. Trust in Him with all your heart. God will answer you. And then anyone listening, in any other way, tonight, just say a prayer to Christ. Say, Jesus, give this to me. Give me this focus. Give me this desire. Give me this ability to overcome temptation. Guide me in the way. Maybe something that looks very good is not good for me. Maybe something easy to do is not something I'm going to do. And you must, God, you must prepare me way before the battle. And help me and lead me and guide me and build me up in the inner man so that I can finish my course with joy. And I pray this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.